Take your Bible, please, and turn to Psalm 37. When Brother Wayne talked to me the other day and told me about his quarantine situation, one of the first thoughts that came in my mind was Psalm 37, because it just seems the Lord has just kind of kept Psalm 37 on my mind and my heart here for really a few months. I keep going back and taking a look at it over and over and over, because I find in there some very specific instructions that I think can be very beneficial to us as children of God. You know, our world is made up of, there's just a lot of hurt and heartache and trouble in our world. Think about it. Worry. Worry is so prevalent. Doctors would have a lot less to do if people weren't eat up with worry. People worry about the future. People worry about the economy. There's just a lot of worry. And then there's a lot of fear in our world today as well. You know, we're fearful of violence. We hear of random acts of violence in various places. And, you know, you have a little fear. You got to be careful as you go out into the community, especially after dark. We have some fear of disease, obviously. We've gone through 2 years almost now of COVID and other diseases, and people have fear that they might develop cancer or something of that nature. So we have worry, we have fear. I also see an awful lot of discontentment in our world. People seem like they're never satisfied. They're always wanting more. There's no contentment. There's also uncertainty in our world. There's lack of direction. People kind of not sure what to do and where to go. And then with that uncertainty and lack of direction comes restlessness. There are folks that just never seem to be settled. They go from one job to another job. They go from one house to another house. They go from one spouse to another spouse. They just never are settled. There's restlessness in our society. And, you know, there's an awful lot of anger. People are carrying around a lot of anger, and they'll go off like that. So these things really characterize our modern society, our modern world. And really the opposite of all of these things that I've mentioned would be the word peace. We don't have a lot of peace in our world. The title of our message this morning from Psalm 37, 1 through 8, is God's formula for peace. Given the fact that there's all these things I've just described, how are we to live for God in this lost world? What does God want His children to do? What instructions can we find from God that might lead us to be able to live in this lost world, in this fallen world, and also ultimately come to the point of having some peace? Do you want some peace? All right. I've got some points here that I believe we can safely call God's formula for peace. And let's start in Psalm 37, verses 1 and 2, where it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." So the first thing I see in part as part of God's formula for peace is fret not. Fret not. Now that's an easy instruction to give you. Fret not. The word fret in the Hebrew where it's written here means to become agitated, angry, worked up, stirred up. I looked up the word fret. That's what I think of when I think of fret, and I think of the frets on a guitar. That's all that comes to my mind when I think of the word fret. But I looked it up in the dictionary, and the word fret means to eat or gnaw into. Did you know that? It means to corrode or rub or chafe. It also means to become vexed or worried. And the illustration in the dictionary is given where a harness on a horse might fret the horse. It might rub the horse raw in a certain place or something of that nature. But you know, that really goes along with what we're thinking about fretting, becoming agitated and worried and worked up. Because what does it do? It eats into you. It rubs you raw. It gnaws into you. It can really corrode. So God says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Are there any evildoers in our world? Oh boy. They're all over the place, aren't they? In our local community, in our nation, in our world, in government, we see evildoers all around us. And sometimes we might think, how can this world go on with all this evil in the world? Well, God says, look, don't worry. Fret not yourself because of evildoers, because He's got a promise in there in verse 2. Because they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Don't worry or get stirred up because of wicked people, because God's going to deal with the wicked people in His time. Now, these verses specifically talk about worrying about those who are wicked. But you know, I don't think we're out of line at all to just apply that to all areas of worry that we can have. Fretting over things. I think that's appropriate for us as well, because we probably fret and worry more over things in our own personal life and our own personal circle of friends than we do over the wickedness in the world. You know, I didn't lose sleep last week thinking about wicked things that are going on in Las Vegas, Nevada. But sometimes we do lose sleep because we're worried over things that we're facing. So I don't believe God wants us to worry about circumstances or coming challenges. Have you ever thought about the fact that most worry is future-oriented? What if this happens? How am I going to handle that situation? Oh, if this takes place, I just don't know what I'm going to do. We're worrying about the future, and many times the things we worry about never come to pass. You know, you can worry yourself sick about catching COVID, but what if you die of a heart attack and you wasted all that worry? You get to heaven and God says, why were you so worried? I was worried I was going to catch COVID and I died of a heart attack. I missed out on what I worried for. Well, that's kind of silly, but that's the way it is a lot of times. We worry about what's coming up, to the point where we can't really live for God right now. Worry, fretfulness, anxiety, it's a wasted emotion. It saps our strength. It saps our energy. It saps our concentration. When I'm so worried about that out there, I can't think about what's going on right here. Worry can cause sleeplessness, irritability. Did you hear what I said? I said irritability. Make you irritable. It can cause stomach problems. It can cause heart problems, social problems. But what does God say about all that? God has two simple words. Say them with me. Fret not. God wants us to fret not. The second thing He says in verse 3 is trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So the second thing that God wants us to do is trust in the Lord. And the word trust in the Hebrew means to be confident. It means to feel safe and secure without fear. That means, that's what trust means, to be safe and secure. You know, when the bad weather's coming through, when it's 26 degrees overnight, you go to bed in your nice warm house and your nice warm bed, and you don't worry about the fact that it's 26 degrees outside. Because, prayerfully, the power stays on, the heat stays going, and you stay warm. You don't worry. But trust, that's what trust is being confident and safe. The dictionary definition is belief that someone or something is reliable, good, honest, and effective. Oh, and it said trust in who? I think he qualifies for reliable, good, honest, and effective. You see, trust, is the reason it comes right after fret not is because trust is the opposite, the very opposite of worry and fear and agitation. So God says, don't fret or worry, but trust Him instead. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, very familiar verses. I hope you've got them memorized. Say, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Wonderful promise. Trust in the Lord, and don't lean on what you understand. The command here is to trust, verse 3, trust in the Lord, and do good. Now, why do those two go together? I think those two go together because when you or I are overwhelmed by worry and fretfulness, we become frozen. We can't do anything. We can't do good because our mind is so focused on the thing or the person or whatever, the event, that we're so worried about. But when you trust in the Lord to take care of the situation and take care of your future, then you're free to do good. Note the promise here. There's a promise with this one as well. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So God is promising if you trust in him, you'll have safety and you'll have provision. Psalm 37, that same chapter, verse 25, right over there on mine, the other column on the page says, I have been young and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God says, trust in the Lord and I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you. I will meet your needs. So this world says to worry and fret, try to do it yourself. Try to climb up the ladder, no matter who else you have to step on. But God says, trust in the Lord. And when you trust in the Lord, do good. Let's say it together. Trust. All right? We're going to fret not, and we're going to trust. All right? Let's go on to verse 4. And it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight means to take pleasure in, to pamper. The Hebrew word has the idea of pampering yourself. Do something you really enjoy. Ladies, if it for you is going and getting your nails done, you might say, well, I'm going to pamper myself. I'm going to go to the salon, get my nails done. That's the idea here. Delight yourself in the Lord. Pamper yourself. The dictionary definition is of delight is a high degree of gratification and extreme pleasure. Warren Wiersbe says about trust in the Lord, he says, find all your pleasure and joy in doing his will. But let me ask you, what is your delight? What brings you pleasure? You've got some free time, maybe a little surplus money. What do you do with that that brings you pleasure? God says, delight yourself in the Lord. What do you find pleasure in? Is it taking a vacation? Is it at the beach? Is it Georgia winning the national championship? Go Dogs. Is it hunting? Is it shopping? What gives you pleasure? What do you delight in? Well, the Bible simply says, delight in the Lord. If we don't fret and we do trust God, we can delight in the Lord. Let me ask you a real personal question. When was the last time the Lord gave you so much pleasure you just had to tell someone about it? God spoke to you through his word in your quiet time or something, and you thought, man, this is great. This is wonderful. I got to tell someone. And maybe you told your family or your friends or something like that. How long has that been? God says, delight yourself in the Lord. And there's a promise here. Did you see it in verse 4? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Hot dog. It's a blank check, right? It's a free ticket. Does that mean that God's going to give you anything you want? He's going to give you $1 million, a new car? Is this a blank check? Not exactly. It is a blank check, but not the way we would think about it. Because if we delight ourselves in the Lord, then our desires are going to be the Lord's desires. We're going to want the things that the Lord wants. And sure enough, he's going to give us the desires of our heart. Charles Spurgeon said it this way, he who fears God and is holy God's servant has no chains about him, no restraints. He may live as he likes. Here's the key phrase, for he likes to live as he ought. He delights in doing what God wants. He may have his full desires, for his desires are holy and heavenly and divine. If our hearts are right, we will desire things that please God. Let me ask you a probing question. What does your heart desire? God says, delight thyself in the Lord. Let's say the word delight together. Delight. So we've said fret not, we've said trust, and we've said delight. All right? Let's move on. See what's next. Verses 5 and 6. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. There's that word trust again. And he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. So the next thing we need to do is commit your way to the Lord. The word commit, this is interesting. The root word from which the word commit comes literally means to roll. Isn't that strange? But think about it. If you are on a hillside or something and you roll a heavy log or rock, you're committed to let it land where it will, right? You let it go, you free it from your control, and it rolls down the hill or wherever it rolls, but you don't control it. You let it go. I think that's what he's talking about here. Commit your way unto the Lord. Give it over to him. The dictionary definition is to take a deliberate course of action, and that talks about commitment. We understand that. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. The word, whenever you find the word way in the Bible, it's usually talking about a path or a journey or your pattern of life. In other words, everything you do. Commit your life to the Lord. Commit your decisions. Commit your path. Commit everything you do. We need to roll our way, our path, our course of life over onto the Lord and let him take control of it. Warren Wiersbe said, let God guide your steps, choose your joys, protect your name, and bless your work. And notice again, there's a promise here. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass, and your righteousness, verse 6, is going to shine like a light. When we're fully committed to the Lord, we've rolled our path, our course, our decisions over onto the Lord and let him take care of it. Then he is going to bring to pass the things he wants to bring to pass. And not only that, it's going to be a testimony to other folks. Your righteousness will shine like a light and thy judgment like the noonday. So the world is restless and uncommitted, but God says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Let's say it together, commit. So we've got fret not, we've got trust. We've got delight and we've got commit. Four words. Let's find something else in verse 7. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So the next thing he tells us to do is to rest in the Lord. Rest literally means be silent, be still, be motionless, refrain from speech. I see your heads popping up. We're uncomfortable with quiet, aren't we? We're uncomfortable with being silent. We feel like there's always got to be something going on. Either I'm talking or you're talking or we got the music going or the TV going. There's always got to be something. But God says, rest in the Lord. Take time to just be still and just be quiet. The dictionary definition of rest is freedom from activity or labor. But you know how it works with most of us Christians. We get up in the morning, we grab our breakfast, we put our clothes on, we run out the door, and we say, oh, wait a minute, God, I need to read this 3-minute devotional. Yep, okay, I got it, I'm out. And we squeeze God into these little boxes, and we don't take time for Him. But the Bible says to rest. Being silent, still, and quiet are virtual unknowns in our modern world. You know how, another way I know? Because if I put you in a room and leave you quiet and still for a few minutes, you're going to pull your phone out and start looking on it and see what's going on in the world, right? Play your game, contact somebody on social media, check the news, the weather, whatever. I don't know about y'all. I check the weather about 7 times a day because every time I check it, I forget what it says. So I keep checking it again. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Well, I tell you, folks, this is a challenge for you and me in 2022 to be still. Warren Wiersbe said, restlessness is an evidence of unbelief. Faith rests in the Lord and enjoys the peace of God, which passes all understanding. That's a quotation from Philippians 4:7. So rest is the very opposite of fear and worry and fretfulness. But rest comes from trusting God. I told you we live in a restless world. It's because people don't know God. Rest comes from trusting God. The world says scurry about and hurry and don't be late, and we don't need to be late, but the world says hurry, 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 and God says rest. Let's say it together. Rest. All right, so we fret not. We trust, we delight, we commit, and then we rest. And one more in verse 8. It says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Anger is being quick-tempered, hot-tempered. Wrath is sort of this burning rage that's very constant, whereas anger is more of the quick, sudden sharpness. Strong displeasure, antagonism, violence, it's all tied up in there. We live in a very hot-tempered world. People are walking around with short fuses. You never know what's going to set them off. Think about how often we hear about road rage. We didn't have road rage 50 years ago. We didn't have road rage 200 years ago. We didn't have cars. That's one reason. But seriously, when I was growing up, you never heard about road rage. I mean, if somebody went off like that, what do? They lock them up in an asylum somewhere because something's not right. But now we have road rage. We have domestic violence. That's the nicest way that can be phrased. It's terrible, but it takes place all over the place. We've got mass shootings. People just take a gun and just shoot a bunch of people they don't even know or care about because we're filled with anger. God says to us instead to don't lose your temper. Don't lose your temper. Don't be motivated by wrath. Hold your tongue. It says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. And hold your tongue. You hear the excuses like I do. Well, you know, I've just got my father's bad temper. That's my Irish blood coming out of me. Boy, you can make all the excuses you want, but you know what they are? They're excuses. That's all they are. By God's grace, you and I are not doomed to be what our parents were. So your father had a terrible temper. You don't have to have a terrible temper. That's just not doesn't work that way. We live and serve a God of grace and forgiveness, and the past can be put in the past through Jesus Christ. Amen? So the world says, really, the world says, if you're not hot-tempered and ready to go off at a moment's notice, you're probably not much of a man or a woman. You're just sort of a wimp. You're a doormat. You let people walk all over you where you should have just cut them down to size. That does a whole lot of good, doesn't it? God says, cease from anger. Let's say that together. Cease from anger. Now, let's kind of think of how this all goes together. How can we cease from anger? Verse 8, I tell you how we can cease from anger, by resting in the Lord. But wait a minute, how do we rest in the Lord? Oh yeah, verse 5, by committing our way to Him. And how can we commit our way to the Lord? By delighting ourselves in the things of God. But how do we delight ourselves in the things of God? By trusting Him and doing good. And you know what? You can't really trust God until you get past verse 1. Fret not. See, fretting prevents us from trusting. If you don't trust God, you can't delight in God. And if you don't delight yourself in the Lord, you can't truly commit your way to Him. And if you don't commit our way to Him, then we certainly can't rest in Him. And if we don't rest in Him, our life is going to be ruled by our fleshly anger. You see how those all work together? Those six things. The world is full of worry, but God says what? Fret not. Say it together. Fret not. The world is full of fear, but God says trust Him. The world is full of discontentment, but God says to what? Delight ourselves in Him. The world is full of uncertainty, but God says to what? Commit our way to Him. The world is full of restlessness and unsettledness, but God says to rest in the Lord. And the world is full of anger, but God says, let's say it, cease from anger, and then forsake wrath as well. Now, what about you? Do you need to confess your sins of worry, fear, or anger to God? You know, frankly, I've hit us all today, haven't I? You know, kind of a broad brush. We're all guilty. I've hit us all. Starting with your speaker here this morning, we're all guilty. Do you need to confess sins of worry, fear, or anger to God? Do you need to make a commitment this day to obey God's instructions? Fret not, trust, all of these instructions. And if you do, you can enjoy peace and rest. God's formula for peace. Let's stand, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Do you need the peace of God this morning? There's a peace that passes all understanding. And God's given us some ideas about how to have that peace. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to come in Your house this morning. We thank You for Your very direct words from Scripture that tell us how we ought to live as Your children to please You and really make life easier on ourselves. Forgive us, Lord, for our worry, for our lack of trust, for our anger, for all of those things. And Lord, please enable us through Your indwelling Holy Spirit to fret not and to trust and to commit and delight, all those different things we talked about. Help us, Lord, to really turn our lives over to You and trust in You. And Lord, if there's anyone who hears my voice this morning who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, I pray You'd send Your Holy Spirit to convict and to draw that person to salvation so they could repent of their sins and place their faith in Jesus Christ and then live with You eternally. Lord, we love You. We praise You. We pray that You would work in this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to respond in any way, now is your time.